It's Thursday, February 24th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a product from the Tech Podcast Network. We're having a great show for you, and it's absolutely gorgeous here in Honolulu tonight. The night jasmine is wafting into the window. It smells like perfume here in the office, so it's absolutely wonderful. A little late getting started, but I got a great show for you. So, you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, via the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm going to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link. And most importantly, if you are looking to subscribe to the show, you're going to find an orange box in the second column of the website. There's the RSS feed for the blog, for the audio feed, for the video feed, for the special media events, for the Saturday morning tech show. Get subscribed to all the shows. That way you'll never miss a single episode of anything that I produce here. And it'll be automatically synced to your either your iPhone or your Zune or whatever device you're using. And that way you won't miss a show. So how's everybody doing? Welcome to the show. A little late getting started tonight. My wife called me this afternoon. She said, "Can you come pick up the kids? I'm going to be late getting done what I need to get done." And so I ran into town, and while we were there, we grabbed dinner. I had a little Greek food for dinner, which was nice. And then we got on the expressway and sat in traffic. And meanwhile, the clock tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, and so, yeah, we're running a little late, but it's okay. Hey, lots going on. Really, it is. But I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime subscribers of the show. Thanks for being part of the family. Of course, thanks for staying subscribed and telling your friends about the show. That's what's the most important part, of course, is spreading the word and sharing the, sharing basically the tech and the talk and the video and everything else that's going on. And another thing that you can do if you're new to the show, sign in to that newsletter. The newsletter will get you all the show notes delivered right into your inbox immediately following the show. Contains all of the content that I cover. And boy, I tell you, the last 4 or 5 shows, they've been monsters. Tonight, not so much content, so we're probably going to wrap a little quicker, which is good. And of course, if you're watching on the Roku or Boxy, we want to thank you for tuning in and watching the show there, of course, as well. One thing that I found with doing the longer the show gets, the harder it is for me to crunch the show into a small enough package to put online. And when I'm crunching a little extra hard, the video isn't as good. So it's to my advantage to keep the show on time and get you guys out of here on schedule. But if you've got comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to leave your comments and send me links, things that you find that's cool. Of course, if you want to call the Action Hotline or 24-hour voicemail, you can do that, 619-342-7365. I know we've got a UK viewer on Ustream right now for you over there in the UK. Of course, calling the United States is +1. Of course, anywhere in the world is +1-619-342-7365. Well, what's going on? I tell you, it's been a busy week. I've been beta testing PowerPress 2.0. Angela and I basically did a real closed beta with the team at Raw Voice. I think tomorrow morning he's going to cut the beta loose for just a few days to the rest of those that want to give it a try. We've got a few tricks up our sleeves. We're going to be releasing the beta with a couple of, how should I say it, secret features that are not going to be revealed until we officially release it early next week. And I'm pretty excited. I think you guys are going to find what we release very cool. There's going to be a group of podcasters that are using a different plugin that are really, if this doesn't dangle the carrot for them to make the jump, nothing will. But we're pretty excited about this update. This is a 2.0 release of PowerPress. And some of the features you see at Geek News Central already, the last episode, which is up, if you load it in Chrome and Safari, if you load it in IE9, all the video stuff looks just a little different, and we're doing a little sleight of hand by making an implementation that will work really across HTML5, non-HTML5 enabled browsers, the whole nine yards. And we've got another thing that we're going to be introducing as well that's really cool that is going to kind of be like this fallback system. So I'm really excited about the video player and what that's going to bring to basically your enjoyment and being able to watch the show. And of course, the audio is always there for download or for listening live as well. Of course, I want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And really, GoDaddy is, they help me keep the lights on. And if you get over to GoDaddy and pick up a product, whether it be a domain name, a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be, GoDaddy's got some great products and services, and I've got some great codes. You can use that CES25 code if you're a brand new customer to get 25% off your first order. If you're not a new customer and you already have a GoDaddy account, never fear. You can go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you'll be able to pick up any product you want, and nearly everything that you buy, I have a code for. And that Geek199, you get .coms for $1.99 as a new customer. Geek5 will save you 15%. Todd will save you 20%. Excuse me, Todd will save you 10%. Todd 20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. ComSale and ComSale 2 will get you .coms and .com renewals. Geek will get you $5 off. Central will get you $10 off on orders $50 or more. Aloha will get you $20 off any order $75 or more. Of course, we've even got codes for SSL certificates. So there's a code for everything and every price point. So consider us when you get over to GoDaddy.com and use that promo code. Save yourself a lot of money. Listeners have racked up tens and hundreds. I believe at this point it's probably hundreds. They don't tell me how much you spend, but I have a pretty good idea based on the spreadsheet we get every month how many new customers that this show has brought to that company, brought to GoDaddy. You're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a month at GoDaddy and saving tens of thousands of dollars as well by using my promo codes. Well, thanks for GoDaddy being sponsored here. And of course, we move on here to another topic. Tonight, this afternoon, we sent out a newsletter to basically 8,000 content creators at Raw Voice between Blueberry.com, Tech Podcast, and all of our other networks. And we basically announced a minor change. And I had gotten some emails. Some people wanted me to kind of explain it. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because we got to get into the tech. But basically what we said that in our newsletter was that at Raw Voice, we help podcasters in many ways with great tools such as PowerPress, our free stats, and also our premium statistics and hosting for content creators on, of course, a world-class CDN. We've also provided many of those podcasters opportunities to be discovered on Roku and Boxy. And the services have become very popular with shows and other networks. And that's the key thing. There are other networks. In light of this, we made some slight changes to some policies on our business model. And as of March 1st, shows on our free stats option that feature advertisers from a competing network and those that are negotiated on their own will be required to upgrade to a paid premium account. And that's what it really boils down to, is we've had a large number of networks that are directly competing with us for advertising dollars, setting up stats accounts for all of their shows and essentially getting free stats from us and then reporting that data back to their advertisers and getting that all for free. And we are going to call a halt to that on March 1st. And we're asking shows that are commercial in nature, that are running advertising in their shows, and they're doing it on their own, to pay for a premium account as well. Now, shows that are nonprofit, shows that don't have any advertising in them, shows that are exclusively advertising with us, can continue to use the free stats system. And but we're just, you know, we're protecting our business model. And if people, we don't mind people using our stats, but it's only $5 a month. So it's a very inexpensive product, and we're getting ready to do a major, major update. So that's going to be huge. It's going to really, you know, basically we're kind of getting the cart before the horse and basically announcing the premiums required before we do the update. But it was something we needed to move on. And went on to basically say that our free spirit remains, but we have to make sure that as a business, our practices are sound. And we hope that all our podcasters understand how serious we are about doing business and how it's going to benefit them over the long term. There's going to be some other announcements a little later in 2011. We've got some cool stuff planned. We've laid out a great roadmap of where we're going to go this year. And it's a little bit, you know, I'm sorry, we're doing a little business kind of stuff here at the beginning of the show, but really, I kind of needed to say it because I'd gotten some Twitter and some direct messages, people asking me to clarify. And we're not saying shows that have Google AdSense or something on their website. We don't care what they're doing on their actual websites. But if they're advertising their shows, we're basically saying, hey, you know, it's you're using our stats, or you've been using them for free, you're making money, and you're using that to report back to your advertisers. So, you know, come on, share the love a little bit and work with this. But that's that. Been working on paperwork, and boy, oh boy, just a crazy amount of paperwork around here right now. Typical stuff going on, getting ready for a new quarter, getting campaigns ready, getting them ready to roll. Got some campaigns wrapping down on some other projects that we've got going. So been really, really busy there. But kids' schedule been nuts too. Man, the kids, I can tell one thing, my wife is running the wheels off her car. And she keeps pinging me, honey. It's time for a new car. And I'm trying to push this off. I keep saying another 6 months. I don't know how long it's going to last. She's not, we're going to buy it used. We're not buying a new. But I was hoping to get another year at least out of this car too. But I don't know if it's going to make it. But boy, kids will put some, kids stuff they got going on will put miles on vehicles. That's for sure. Hey, one thing I'm going to do for the next show, I'm going to try a little experiment. All right. I have in my hot little hands, I have an Apple TV, and got it here. It's in the box. I got the shipping container, actually threw the shipping container down on the floor. And this is a nice little item for someone. So what we're going to do is for every $10 contribution to the show, we're going to go ahead and put your name in, basically the hat to do that, a minimum $10 donation. At, all you got to do is send it to podcast at podcastconnect.com is the PayPal address. I have a link up in the show notes, but on Monday's show, we'll give this away. We'll do a drawing. Doesn't matter if one or 100 people have contributed. One person will walk away with this, but you'll know if I don't give away money, no one donated, but I know that's not going to happen. So we'll give this away Monday night, and as kind of a thank you for those that help out the show. Between now and Monday. We're going to try this as a little experiment to see how it goes in raising a little cash for the show. You guys know we got sponsors here, but sometimes the sponsor dollars are spread out amongst multiple people. And, it can be a little bit of a challenge at times. And we definitely ask for your support and appreciate it. Let's look here at this rest of the stuff I've got going on. Basically, I think I'm real close. I've been working on some documentation, and I'm real close to sending us some paperwork over to our new show host that's going to be bringing a show on board, and hopefully be able to send that over to him tomorrow for his review, and then hopefully we'll have a new show starting here in about a week, and we keep our fingers crossed on that, and it's just taking a little longer than I thought to get all that paperwork drilled down. But I'm looking forward to being able to announce the new show that's going to introduce you. And we've had a number of people send me some emails in the last couple of days, and we're getting some crossover on show types that people want to do. So I need to get with a couple of folks that have emailed me and say, okay, we need to make some divisions here on where you're going to fall out and in the type of content that you're going to create or if you want to create. I guess that's it. But I want to thank Audible, of course, for being a sponsor here at the show. And get a free book on me. And you can do that by going over to audiblepodcast.com/CES. I've been listening to, actually, I've been driving a lot. I mean, stuck in traffic. So I've been actually listening to a lot of Audible books while I'm actually driving. And I had an email that came in from Trucker Tom. He's actually got a comment on Audible. We'll save that for the end of the show. But he's got something here that he wants to share about Audible. And, of course, Tom is a long-haul truck driver. And so if anyone knows about having to stay entertained, he does. And I'm sure he's going to share with us some cool stuff. So I'll have that near the end of the show, of course. All right, let me go ahead here and look at my list and make sure we've got everything done. Of course, if you're following on Justin or Ustream, I want to thank you tonight for joining the show. I definitely appreciate you staying up late and watching. It is greatly appreciated. And I think that's it. Again, if you got comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Be sure to join me on Saturday for the Saturday Morning Tech Show. We'll be getting some hosts lined up tomorrow, and we'll have a great show starting at 9 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Pacific on Saturday. All right, let me go ahead here and bounce open the stuff that I've got lined up for you. Of course, a beautiful launch today by Discovery. Oh, my goodness. And it came down to the wire. They had some problems with range control. I was watching it on live stream. I was sitting here at the desk kind of biting my nails. I didn't know if they were going to get off the ground or not. But with about 40 seconds before they were out of their launch window, the range coordinator said, okay, we're good, we're go. And they started the last 5 minutes of the countdown. They had like a 2-minute and 49-second window, or like 3-minute and 10 seconds or something like that, in which the shuttle had to get off the ground in order to be in the right position to catch up to the International Space Station. But with the seconds to go, Discovery blasted off, had a perfect launch. I did notice in the ascent, I saw in one feed, and I don't know if any of you are watching as well, and I'm waiting for the news to come out on this and for them to talk about it. But during the ascent, I actually saw a piece of foam kind of float and hit the underbelly of the shuttle and then go off into Never Never Land. So don't know if it was a piece of foam or ice, but it was really eerie because you had the space shuttle and had, of course, it was the solids were already gone. And of course, at this point, I think the shuttle was doing, I think they were reporting like 11 or 12,000 miles per hour. So, you know, the speed is, you know, incredible. And when this piece came off, it just kind of like floated there almost like, you could tell there was so much serious momentum and that they were high enough in the atmosphere that there wasn't a lot of drag because it just kind of just bounced and then just off it went. And it was kind of, I just couldn't believe it. I was just, wow, did anyone see that? And it was kind of weird. But anyway, we'll see what happens with their inspection of the shuttle. I'm sure it'll be fine. But it was kind of weird to watch that. It really, really was. There's basically a trash hauler, or the ATV, the European Space Agency's ATV, has made it to the International Space Station, and 8,000 pounds of goodies have been delivered, and they're going to start unpacking that tomorrow. They're going to have a heck of a traffic jam up there with 6 astronauts already on the station. And then they're going to have, you know, the shuttle crew. Boy, oh, boy. It's very busy up there. And we'll see how it all turns out. But should be a fun week to watch NASA TV and all the activities going on. There's been also at least 8 private spaceship builders have made NASA's shortlist to get a chance to divvy up $200 million of NASA's budget to work with third-party companies. So look forward to see how that's divvied out and what happens from there. One little last piece of space news before we move into tech. Pretty good article over at dailygalaxy.com talking about bizarre alien matter discovered at core of a supernova. And scientists are a little bit puzzled. They're seeing this alien matter, and it really what it is, I think it's basically because it's so hot in the middle of this, and this, remember, this supernova went off like 400 years ago. So what they're seeing is they feel like neutrons or something that have turned into a liquid state. How they see all this stuff, it kind of blows my mind, to be honest with you. But that's what they're saying. A pretty good write-up. I'll let you guys read through it. And pretty bizarre stuff. And they've been able to replicate some of this on Earth in cold temperatures, but nothing at the high point. Hey, one last link before I bounce you guys into the regular tech stuff. NASAtech.net. If you haven't been over here, I saw this link tonight, and my mouth fell open when I saw this. This is a site you immediately have to go to, bookmark. Great pictures. I mean, it's awesome. They can talk about the processing, the launch. It's, you know, everything, pictures you've never seen before from NASA. And these are awesome. They really are. And it's some pretty cool pictures. So anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you. Again, it's NASAtech.net. But definitely scope this out. And this is on my permanent watch list because it's just a lot of cool stuff. All right, the Zoom, there's already a bootloader out for it. So if you want to unlock the Motorola Zoom that you may have picked up. Oh, wait a minute. Motorola provided the Zoom with an unlockable bootloader, which gave developers and hackers easy access to the hardware. So that's pretty cool. And so one of the folks in the Android community have basically laid out the unlocking guide, and it basically shows you how to get drivers and set things up so you're ready to go. And really, this isn't, as they're saying, rooting the Zoom, but it's a, and I say Zoom, I'm saying X-O-O-M, Zom. Am I saying it right? Because you get that, we're going to get this confused with the actual Zune, Z-U-N-E. So the Zoom, basically you can get in there and make some changes and customize and stuff. So pretty cool stuff, and I'll have that link up in the show notes. Lots of talk about hacking Android, and you know, most of Android's open, so there isn't that much hacking that has to be done, but a lot of stuff today on AndroidCentral.com if you're an Android buff. If you have been wanting high-speed internet, South Korea, they've announced that every home in South Korea is going to be getting 1 gigabit per second broadband. This is crazy. Now, their wireless broadband is going to have at least 10 megs of service available. They're going to have HDTV that they're going to deliver over this this high-speed connection that is going to be at least 16 times clearer than the current HDTV signals. So, you know, this just is nuts and what they're going to be able to provide households with. And they've already wired 1,500 households in it, basically in the past year to do a test. And they're only paying $27 a month for this service, by the way. This isn't, they're not paying hundreds of dollars. They're paying 30,000 won or $27 a month for their 1 gigabit per second Ethernet access. You know, and here's the deal. You think about this this rollout. Again, this is 1 gig. We're not talking about 100 meg. We're talking about 1 gig. This is going to be a competitive edge for South Korea. And you're going to talk about a lot being able to get done. Can you imagine the productivity and what we'd be able to do and the freedoms and the just, I can't imagine what would happen if everyone in the United States had, let's just say, 100 megs of service, let alone a gig. Now, obviously, South Korea is, geographically, people live in a very dense areas, and it's easier for them to roll this out. But still, think about it. If South Korea can do it, can roll out 1 gigabit service to their entire country, by the end of 2012. It's just amazing. It really is. And I'm insanely jealous. I just, the local Oceanic Cable Company, which is Roadrunner here in Honolulu, they keep promising faster speeds in 2011. I call them about every week. I said, those faster speeds here yet? No, sir, we don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, you're running ads that says faster speeds coming in 2011. What does that mean? And they won't say nothing. So false advertising, in my opinion. But I can't wait for more speed. And because we definitely don't have it here. All right, Apple, of course, today announced a new Mac and new MacBook Pros. They've introduced a number of things that are going to be on the MacBook. We'll talk about that here in a second. But one of the things coming, the new version of OS X Lion, they're going to provide what's called AirDrop. I think this is pretty cool because, you know, I've been in meetings or I've been someplace and, you know, I've had my Mac with me and, you know, sharing, okay, can you hand me your USB stick and you transfer a file that way? And, you know, but what they're going to be doing here is this AirDrop is going to be located in the Finder sidebar. Users are going to be able to see other people's machines as long as you have it turned on. And then if you want to share a file, you just simply drag it into someone's name, and then there's a little thing that's going to pop up on your screen that says, hey, so-and-so, a picture of you from your profile, wants to send you this file. And in a meeting, that would be really cool. And it just drops it into the person's download folder, and you're done. So this is great for public, you know, something like this at South by Southwest or CES. You don't have to worry about network protocols and all the hassles you have to go through to make sure everybody's on the same IP, same network, same subnet. Yeah, you know, just simple. I just wish that Macs would talk that easily with the Windows machines. I have the most trouble here getting the two machines to look and talk at each other. And as always, the Mac, I got to go over and you log it in and make sure you check it so it keeps in the keychain so it remembers to check in again next time. But invariably, I go to the machine and I can't see the network and I have to monkey with it. You know, what is the deal with that? You know, Windows machines, they all come up in the network. They all act fine together. But even now that, you know, that I got the MacBook Pro sitting here and the Mac Tower with the with my 16 cores. And, you know, sometimes they don't want to talk to one another. And I'm glad they're doing this. It makes it easy. It'll be worth the upgrade cost just to get the AirDrop feature. So maybe the rest of you don't have trouble, but, you know, you just want it to work. You know, you want the machines to work with one another and be nice and play nice. It just doesn't seem to always be the case. Now, Apple's removed MobileMe from the online store, and they've discontinued retail boxes. And I'm like, crap, because I just updated about 2 weeks ago my wife's MobileMe account. And I don't know what they're going to be doing here, but Engadget says, hey, it's going away. And this is anticipation that both single user and family packs are no longer going to be available. And apparently Apple is saying that the service will undergo some scheduled maintenance, and they may be making some changes here. And I don't know if they're going to make it free, but obviously, they have had, you know, some sort of a, well, probably didn't sell real well. So they're, maybe they're going to make it free. I don't know. Does anybody know anything? You guys got any, heard any rumor control on this and what's going on? But, you know, you can't buy it no more. Did any of you Mac users even buy it or pay for the service on a yearly basis? I know probably some of you did. Let's, I thought I had all the Apple products together. Yeah, here's another article. Apple FaceTime for Mac is finally out of beta. It's available at the Mac App Store for 99 cents. So now you can essentially download this to your Mac, and you can use FaceTime right on your computer, which is pretty cool. And that'll be available for you. Now you just don't have to go cell phone to cell phone. But let's talk about a little bit about the new MacBook Pro. And let me just bring this right up on the screen for you here. And finally, you're going to be able to get a MacBook Pro with a quad core in it. About time. I got the machine sitting down here on the floor that I'm using to push the stream to Justin.tv. I've had it more than a year with a quad core in it. I think the computer cost me about $800 because I loaded it up with graphic cards and memory. But pricing out the new MacBook Pro and, oh my gosh, you had better hold on to your wallet. Traditionally Macs have been expensive, and they have not at all reduced the price. The 13-inch starts at $1,199. The 15-inch starts at $1,799, and the 17-inch starts again at $2,499. So let's go over here to the, let me click the Buy Now button, and let me go ahead and click on a 17-inch 2.2 gigahertz quad-core Intel Core i7 with 4 gigs of RAM, 750 gig hard drive. Let me go ahead and select that, and let's see what happens here when I add some features. If I want to go up to the 2.3 gigahertz quad core, that's another $250. If I want to take and go from 4 gigs of memory to 8 gigs, that's another $200. 750 gig hard drive, that is woefully too small. So I definitely want to get a, let's drop a 500 gig. Well, let's see here. How can we do this? Is it going to let me pick up? Yeah, let's put a solid state drive in here. Let's go with do I want a 5400 750 gig drive, or do I want a 500 gig serial ATA drive at 72? Well, I got the need for speed, so let's take a lower hard drive size. We can always use an external on that. That's another $200. I don't need I want the high resolution anti-glare screen. That's an extra $50. Let's see here. Do I want a backlit keyboard? Oh, that's all the same. So that's the same price. And how much does that come to? $29.99. I think I can buy about 4 Windows PCs for that price. 2.2 gigahertz quad core, Intel Core i7, 4 gigs of RAM, base model 750 gig hard drive, 5400 RPM, Intel HD graphics, AMD Radeon HD 675M with a 1 gig GDDR5. And built-in battery that will last 7 hours. Oh, and it can ship it to you in one to 2 days. $24.99 base price. Whew, fanboys, you know, I'm the first to admit we've got, I've got 3 Macs here. I got 2 MacBook Pros. I've got a MacBook, and I have the machine I do all the video processing with. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know if my son came up to me today and wanted me to buy him his own Mac, even the 13-inch at $1,199. Let's go. You want to go price some Windows machines? We can do that, and we all know what those cost. They don't cost that much. It just blows me away how much Apple can get away with for charging for the products. And I know the fan, go ahead, come on, bring it on, fanboys, geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me why. tell me why $2,900 is an acceptable price for a 17-inch MacBook Pro, which you're probably going to want to replace in about 2 years. Wow. Holy cow. It's just insane. It really is. You know, the Mac Pro starts at $24.99. Jeez, that's amazing. It really is. Okay, moving on. Oh, well, it's got Lightspeed in it. It's got Intel Lightspeed. You heard about that. Lacy's coming. And Lacy? I don't buy anything from Lacy. I don't like their drives. They got a bad reputation, but they're coming out with a light speed drive to go, and it's going to be smoking. It's going to be fast. Don't get me wrong. That thing is going to cruise, and you're going to be able to transfer media back and forth and do all kinds of, it's hot. It's smoking. It really, really is. and tie that with an SSD drive maybe from the folks over at OWC. And you'll definitely have some, you know, throughput when you're transferring media files and so forth. But I'm waiting for the Final Cut Pro upgrade. They're saying that's coming, and that's a major rework. That's another $500 bill, but for me, it's worth it because I use that tool a lot, and it's a deduction for my business. But, you know, I guess Mac, at least, they've moved forward, and guess what? We're still waiting for USB 3.0. You know, Intel is promising native USB 3.0 support someday. So, oh, wait a minute. It isn't Lightspeed. I stand corrected. The Lightspeed, the proprietary high-speed interface technology and shoehorned into Apple's new MacBook Pro. Yeah, it is Lightspeed. Or maybe I'm confused. Intel's fully supports USB 3.0 and plans to integrate it in the future, said company's Jason Ziller, which sounds like a fairly potent promise to us. But considering how long Intel has been dragging its heels, and this is over at Engadget again. But anyway, my understanding is that the Thunderbolt technology is essentially Lightspeed, but it's not. Okay, so what is Thunderbird? Now, apparently what's going on is Thunderbolts is a brand new chip and a cord, which allow devices to pipe two data streams simultaneously in both directions over a single cable of up to 10 gigabits per second to start primarily using PCI Express X4 for data and display port for video. It says the Thunderbird controller chip required for the system, but Intel says it's hardware agnostic and does not require an Intel processor or chipset to use. Acts as a miniature router of the sorts of rapidly switches between the two bidirectional channels. Okay, so this was not Lightspeed. So this is just a new, this is what they're calling Thunderbird. I am thoroughly confused because my understanding was that they were going to be, and this is this USB 3.0? Is this really what that is? All right, as you can tell, I'm as confused as the rest of you are right now. And I will get to the bottom of this and get back to you, and we'll talk about this a little more. But someone in the chat says Thunderbolt is Lightpeak renamed. Okay, so that's, I was on the right path, I guess. Okay, all right. Thank you very much. Let's move on here. If you are, any of you have girls or Girl Scouts? Well, Ohio Girl Scouts are accepting mobile payments for their cookies. Your Thin Mint craving starts now. You can basically, when you go and they see the Girl Scout selling cookies at the local Walmart, basically they've teamed up with Intuit to accept credit cards using the company's Go Payment app and a company card reader. So basically, there you just scan it right there when they're selling them. So that's pretty cool. So it's actually not using your mobile phone, but they're using a mobile phone to do that. So that's pretty smart on their part. So you don't have to have cash. You just pay for your Girl Scout cookies with a credit card, and you can buy more because you won't feel so guilty until the bill comes later. So smart on the Girl Scouts for doing that in Ohio. Let's talk about a couple of articles over at Geek News Central. This morning, I penned an article talking about, really, the Chinese. And I kind of did a spin on words here. It says, who to be worried about more, the Chinese or Anonymous? As a individual that has a number of servers, believe me, I have no fight with Anonymous. Because they have proved themselves to, they want in a server and they're going to do damage, they are going to do it. I don't think there's very much to stop them at this point, which is kind of scary. But, you know, it's been very evident that Anonymous is a group that really anyone running publicly accessible servers should avoid. You know, we should probably stay away from them. Now, we know that Anonymous publicly embarrasses folks. We're going to talk about how they embarrassed the Westboro Church today. But as being reported on Bloomberg this morning, it appears that industrial espionage and I'm going to say that with deep, dark tones, is alive and well. It's been revealed that Exxon, Royal Dutch Shell, British Petroleum, have essentially been owned by the Chinese government hackers for about a year. Now, if you really think about this, what does the, you know, what do the Chinese want from Exxon and Shell and, you know, British Petroleum? Well, let me think. They do exploration. They have maps of where potential oil reserves are. Lots of millions of dollars into exploration stuff. Well, it appears that the Chinese have, you know, downloaded that, and they're going to use that for their own drilling rigs. And once again, the Chinese, if they can't build it on their own, they steal it or reverse engineer it. And as I say in this, maybe I'm a paranoid retired Navy guy, but I'm going to tell you, if these companies and our government and everyone else cannot get their beep together and get their server secure and protect this valuable data worth trillions and trillions of dollars, we're going to be screwed. Think about it. Here you got multinational companies who have some of the most sensitive data. You know, I don't own any stock in any of these companies. And we're all probably, many of us are not fans of the oil companies, okay? But at the same time, do you want the Chinese to have this data instead of Exxon, Shell, and British Petroleum? I would much rather have those companies have that data and keep the oil flowing to us so we can drive our SUVs and keep our power grid on. At least here in Hawaii, we don't have no coal here. When are we going to start fighting back? When are we going to start taking them to task? Oh, the Chinese said, we didn't do anything. We're innocent. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of lovely Chinese people. Lots of great Chinese people here in Hawaii of Chinese descent. You know, fantastic people. Well, what their government does is a totally different issue. Companies large and small better get their act together and better start improving their security. Because if it isn't the Chinese, then it's going to be anonymous putting your company's content all over the web. I'm sorry if I'm ranting. It's just, this honestly just completely blew me away. And they're not saying what they took. I can tell you what they took. They took everything. They took everything. They probably got the Coca-Cola secret formula too. Oh man. Man, oh man, oh man. Man alive. What do you guys think? Am I off my rocker here on this? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. I really want to hear what you think about this. Right, you know. And it could be more than the Chinese. You know, one thing about the Russians, you know, we knew the Russians were doing espionage against the military and industrial espionage. But, you know, basically, they were building most of the stuff on their own. They were reverse engineering some stuff. But, you know, it was pretty defined. You know, there was this, you know, you knew that these, that was the enemy. You knew because they weren't coming here and going to our colleges. You know, the Chinese are getting educated in American universities, which is their right to do so, and then going back to China and then hacking our computers and reverse engineering our technology and eating our lunch. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm off my rocker and I'm a conspiracy theorist, but this has got to stop. All right, let's go to a different topic. KL wrote a great article on basically ebooks and audiobooks. And yes, you can get audiobooks and ebooks from your library. And we have been, actually, you can get movies from your library too. If you haven't been to your local public library lately, I suggest you do so. And she's got some suggestions here on what happened when she went to hers. She was pretty blown away by what they found. So we're in our public, Hawaii Public Libraries every week. My kids bring bags of books home, home to read. Hey, Michael Dell, one of our writers at Geek News Central, is using a CR48, and he's in day three. So he wrote a good post today about what he's learned about trying to record a podcast on a CR48. I think you guys enjoy the write-up. It hasn't went so well. He's finding a lot of limitations with it as well. All right, how many of you have ever shared an apartment with someone? How many of you have argued when you've shared that apartment about rent? Well, there's a great site called splittherent.org, and it's a rent calculator. You put in the total rent amount, how many bedrooms there is, how big the first bedroom is square foot-wise, how big the second bedroom is. You go through a bunch of stuff, and it gives you the exact total on what each occupant is supposed to pay for rent based upon how much space they take up. Very, very smart. This is pretty easy. Splittherent.org. And great way to solve a, how should I say it, little argument. Because everyone wants the biggest bedroom, right? But the person's got the biggest bedroom, should it pay a little more in rent? Traditionally, that's the way it works. But I have a link up in the show notes for you. If you're a Linux user, top five free Linux music creation tools for the artists on the budget. Linux Multimedia Studio looks pretty nice. Rose Garden is another one. Jack Beat, Jack Audio Connection, Muse. So, of course, Audacity as well. I'm you know, I've used Audacity for years, but it has a tendency to fail me from time to time. The show is being recorded tonight, of course, on Adobe Edition on a Windows machine. And so anyway, I've got five free Linux music creation tools I'll link to for you to check out. I think the article I found most fascinating today when I was going through and getting ready for the show was an article over on makingwindowseasy.com. And Google, boy, oh boy, Google today announced Cloud Connect for Microsoft Office. And, you know, I've used Google Docs a lot. We have a lot of docs up in Google Docs. I guess that's kind of a plan on words. But anyway, today what they've done is you can load a plugin into Office 2003, 2007, and 2010, and it brings doc type functionality to all of them. You can work with, you can have a Word doc open, and then you can use all the standard doc tools, you know, that you're used to using, and you can do collaboration. You can have more than one person in the Word doc using this Google Cloud Connect. I'm sure Microsoft hates this, but I thought, beautiful. Finally, because there's some stuff you want to format a certain way, and you know, Google Docs is not totally the perfect word processor, no matter what they've tried so far. But being able to do this is very, very cool. So I'll be downloading and installing Cloud Connect, and I'll be twisting my guys' arms. Come on, guys, let's try this, and I'll let you know how it goes. But if anybody's used this, I'd love to hear your feedback on it. And I'm sure this is probably makes Microsoft just a little bit more nervous. All right, of course, Amazon here just announced for Amazon Prime members that they would be able to do unlimited streaming. And a survey that's been run says that Netflix subscribers could jump ship to Amazon. And of course, if you've got a Roku, you've already got Amazon Amazon channel on there. And if you sign up for the Amazon service, which is $79 a year, they're going to make available just as much or more than what you got available on Netflix. So here's the thing that's pretty cool. 36% of existing Amazon Prime subscribers said that they would cancel Netflix and use Amazon Prime Instant Videos instead. An additional 33% said they would keep their Netflix subscription and use both services. That's what I'm going to do. With 10% saying they would continue to only use Netflix, maybe. Meanwhile, 21.5% said they didn't know how they would use the service. So it might be worth it for you, if you've got a Roku box, to go out and sign up for Amazon Prime and give it a roll for, you know, I don't know if you can sign up a month to month at $79 a year. Might be worth it just to give it a roll And then if it turns out it's better than Netflix, you can cancel your Netflix subscription, which is month to month. So I'm going to do it. I'll go ahead and pay the subscription, and I'll let you guys know how it goes over the weekend when we watch some movies. But I'm telling you what, I'm missing some of my stuff that I can't get because we've cut the cord, and it I'm looking for it online. I'm trying to find, I would pay for it, but there's stuff I just can't find from Discovery, from TLC. So that's the only thing is I've not liked about cutting the cord so far. Over on New TV at GigaOM, they're talking about is pay TV making a comeback? And essentially what's going on here. After two successive quarters of subscriber losses, the big TV providers may be making a little bit of a comeback. Comcast TV Everywhere might be paying off, but they feel that what could have drove the numbers here is potentially with the Q4 and Q1 being big sports quarters is what's driving people not to unsubscribe from their cable TV service. I'm gone. All right, hey, over on OGizmo, I love this site. This just site finds me all kinds of cool stuff. I don't know where they get their source information on this, but my wife would not allow this in my house. But fellas, what do you think? What it is? It's a lab nav, and for those of you watching the video, you can check it out. It lights up your toilet for those late night bathroom trips. And I like the one because it's got a target. And if nothing else, I could do this for my two younger gentlemen that are in the home that have a, how should we say it, an aiming problem from time to time. And it's a simple solution for that, though. What I found is you make them clean the bathroom every weekend for a couple weekends in a row. And the aiming issue kind of goes away. But anyway, this lav nav lights up. It's $32. And the only thing is you hope it has really good stick'em tape, because I'd hate to have to fish this thing out of the bowl when it didn't hold real well. So one thing that we... Anyway, I have that link up in the show notes for you. Another product that I found was... we actually saw this at CES. We have a video on it. It's called the Nomad Brush and iPad. This thing's pretty cool. You actually use a brush and you can paint. If you haven't seen this video, I saw it over in OGizmo. It reminded me of the interview that Jeffrey did. So just do a search on Geek News Central for Nomad. I'll see if I can find it, put it up in the show notes. But I will give OGizmo credit for this, for kind of doing the hat tip and reminding me. But if you are, you know, like to try painting, and you want to try painting on your iPad, and you can save this, you don't, and you can come back to it later, which is cool. Check out the demo on this. It's really, really cool. It really is. And you can change colors and mix, and it's fun. And if nothing else, your kids will just absolutely have a ball with it. It's $24. For the program and for the actual, for the brush. And, this is a great way to have some fun and let your kids, bring out the artiste in them. And I'm sure we're going to see some pretty cool stuff. The Nomad brushes are all handmade, and they're made of natural and synthetic fibers. So, but anyway, pretty cool stuff. Link will be in the show notes on this as well, of course, as all the articles here. Hey, those of you that are using a BitTorrent anyway, you may want to check out a new trackerless torrent search engine called BTDig. And this is interesting. BTDig is doing some stuff to try to keep you from being tracked, and it's the first trackerless torrent search engine. So I'll let you guys check that out. And it's over at btdig.org is the website. And if you're using uTorrent and you're using left the default settings on uTorrent, basically this works, interacts with the uTorrent real well, and basically trying to keep you as anonymous as possible. So I have that up for you to check out. Now, you know, you have to admit that if you're going to go try out for the NFL, you better be in shape, because when they take them to camp, they're not, it's not a pretty thing. They work them pretty hard. So guys that are going to, going to camp or they're an NFL prospect, they're going to want to be in good a shape as possible. But what they're doing this year is they're bringing in a new shirt that they're going to make them wear. And it's going to collect data on them during their workout. And so what it's going to do, it's going to measure a whole bunch of stuff. It's going to measure their speed. It's going to measure heart rate, respiration, temperature, all kinds of stuff. This thing is amazing. All the different things that it can track. You know, when someone does like a lateral move, it's going to be able to tell how much, lateral force was applied, and they're going to come up with all these performance parameters that's going to really give them some insight into these athletes. And it's going to be very, very deep, and they're going to be able to get a lot of inside information on these guys' health and everything else. So it's pretty cool. And they had some college students trying this out, and coaches were pretty impressed with what it was able to produce. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. And I could see this going into a lot more different utilizations as well. I could see boxers. I could see runners using it. You name it. Collecting data on your workout. Pretty cool stuff. And, at some point, I'm sure we're all, those of you that are hardcore workout folks will want to have one of these anyway to test your performance. Hey, this is a little bit of I call this one of these articles that suck you in to look at it, and I don't know how much value it is, but it just does bring home one thing. If you are in an area where your mobile service isn't as good as it should be, you may want to be real careful about canceling your landline. Recently, Verizon dropped over 10,000 911 calls because of a blizzard in Maryland. And one lady almost died in her home, but they couldn't get calls out. And these were a lot of people that had already cut their landlines. So be aware of that. And of course, this was an extreme situation with really bad weather. So, you can't blame Verizon too much on this because everyone was having issues. But this is something that happened. Matter of fact, my mom right now, they had an ice storm where she lives. And last I talked to her, her generator's keeping the power on for her house and cooler, and they may not get power back until Saturday, but she's the envy of the neighborhood with electricity on. Hey, Robert Scoble's done a good review of the Zoom, Motorola Zoom, so I have this up link in the show notes for you to check out, so if you want to do that, you can. Google has implemented some new algorithms, and they're going to be removing what they're kind of calling sites that are doing nothing but stealing content from other people. These are basically data farms, and they say it's going to affect about 2% of search queries. And on those search queries, there'll be a change in them of about 12%. So in other words, there's going to be some missing links. So this is something that they've implemented here today. And they announced the folks over at searchengineland.com are going crazy about it. But basically, they're saying that Google is foreclosing on content farms with what they're calling the Farmer Algorithm Update. So I have both these linked up in the show notes for you to check out. Basically, Google's announcement and then the industry's response to the change. All right, let's talk about getting pwned. Westboro Church said, hey, we got threatened by Anonymous. And Anonymous said, no, we didn't. Anonymous went on a radio interview today with the folks from the Westboro Baptist Church. And in the middle of the live radio show, Anonymous hacked their website. So there's a YouTube video on this. And I'll be honest with you. I listened to like the first 2 or 3 minutes, and I wanted to puke. I really did. It just didn't entice me at all. So if you go to about the 8-minute mark on this YouTube video, you'll see she gets a little bit upset when he announces, "Hey, why don't you check your website? We've defaced it, and at this point, all Westboro Baptist Church servers are offline." supposedly for security updates. But, you know, they got the attention they wanted, and they got took down. So you just don't, you know, you don't play with matches, folks. You really don't, unless you want to get burned. That's for sure. All right, over on the Craigslist blog, and I'll be honest with you, Craigslist, you know, you guys, come on. You can do a little bit better job. Look, you guys, on the video, look at their blog. Is it just about as plain Jane as it comes? Well, the folks over at Craigslist are taking, very strong words against a scraping site called Oodle, who paid a group called AIM to falsely portray Craigslist as fraught with criminal activity. The AIM group documented 330 crimes that it says occurred in connection with a Craigslist listing in the United States over a 12-month period. Well, the folks at Craigslist comes back and says, do you understand how many billions of human interactions happen on Craigslist? And that there were 570 million classifieds posted by 100 million or more U.S. Craigslist users, and you could only find 330 crimes out of 570 million listings. And some folks came back to Craigslist defense and basically said, hey, you've got a lower crime rate than most cities do, specifically Oakland, which Oakland has a pretty high crime rate. So, but anyway. This link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. But Craigslist is like, this story was ridiculous. And anyway, I don't know if there's going to be a lawsuit involved, but we'll see. National security is driving helium-3 shortage. We talked about this last year, but apparently it's getting worse. As you know, helium-3 is largely used in devices that are used to detect nuclear material. And since 9/11, there's been a huge run on helium-3. Helium-3 is a non-toxic glass with a high diffusion coefficient. And again, it's been primarily used in lung imaging studies. It's used in MRI machines and so forth, but they're running short of this stuff because everyone wants to have a detector that can detect nuclear material. The Department of Energy didn't think they would ever run out. Helium-3 is a byproduct of nuclear weapons work. And I don't know exactly the process. Anyway, it's a big scientific thing. So they're trying to find alternatives to helium-3, and they're not having a lot of luck. But helium-3 has become very, very expensive, and they are looking at locations where they can maybe harvest more. The moon has an abundance of helium-3, so maybe it won't be the gold rush. Maybe helium-3 for a gold rush. But anyway, you guys can check that out. I found this more interesting is the article that's another article on Bloomberg today was talking. Of course, we talked about the Chinese and their hacking ability, right? Well, Huawei, that's H-U-A-W-E-I, Huawei, says it's no threat to U.S. security and invites probe. Huawei Technologies said its perception that the Chinese phone network equipment maker threatens U.S. national security are unfounded and invited the government to probe the company about any concern it may have. Over the past 10 years, we've been buying up things in the United States. We've encountered a number of misperceptions that hold about Huawei. He says, we sincerely hope that the United States government will carry out a formal investigation on any concerns it may have. You know, we're already putting Chinese stuff in our homes. We're using phones that are made in China. You know, all of a sudden now they're all worried about this company? You know, they are already, if they want to do damage and put sleeper type of chips and subroutines into products, they've already done it. You know, the cat's already out of the bag, folks. But the government denied them the ability to buy a couple of patents that were surrounding some stuff that the U.S. Commerce Department thought would give the Chinese government some unfair advantage. So that was denied. I didn't know if they could actually do that, but they did. Microsoft has fixed a hole in its antivirus engine. So if you have been using that, make sure you get an update for it as well. And I think the probably the coolest article of the day is Australia is confirming that internet service providers are not copyright cops. The Federal Court of Australia has dismissed a case from the movie industry, which argued that ISPs must take action against file swappers based on allegations of infringement from copyright holders. The case against ISP iiNet was an appeal of the original judgment in the matter, which also went against right holders. Now, they did kind of leave an opening for the movie industry and how to address some of these issues. So it didn't completely take the internet service providers out of the loop. But if they want people shut down, they're going to have to pay them to do it. And they're going to have to provide very specific information to the internet service providers. So Australia, we applaud a great decision in the copyright violation space. We'll see what happens from there. All right, we talked about that national broadband map here recently. Well, there's a place in there where you can put in an address. And I went ahead and put my address in, and I'm not going to show, well, it's not public where I live. But the search results for providers in my area shows that I can use Hawaiian Telecom at 10 to 25 megs per second and Time Warner at 10 to 25 megs per second. And then available is Clear, Sprint, AT&T, and Verizon. And most common speed is 10 meg to 25 megs. Time Warner, I think we get 10 megs down. Hawaiian Telecom, no. I only get 3. But anyway, if you want to find out about what's available in your area, the National Broadband Map has a place to put in your address, and you can find providers in your area and find out what's available speed-wise. And I'll show you what your neighboring community has as well and a rank within your community. So if I rank my community here, and if I look at speed and I generate the list, what does it tell me? Where am I at in the list? I'm 31st out of 54 listings. So we're not the slowest, but we're definitely not the fastest either. Hey, over on ours, they're talking about piracy at the really affecting worldwide sales at the movie theaters. 2006, movie sales were $25.5 billion worldwide. 2007, $26.3 billion. 2008, $27.7 billion. 2009, $29.4 billion. And lo and behold, 2010 was a record year, up 8% in total box office revenue, $31.8 billion. So it looks like people that are out there stealing movies are having a very significant effect on the bottom line of movie theaters worldwide. yeah. All right. This should not come as a shocker to you in the last article of the night. More than half of the money paid into the high-cost Universal Service Fund is not going to provide universal service. The Universal Service Fund is obviously just this big cash cow for the providers. In the latest auditing, 59 cents of every dollar that goes to the big telcos from the Universal Service Fund does not go towards universal service. Instead, the telcos just take that money and do other stuff with it. So 59% of every dollar you send in the Universal Service Fund, it's not going towards universal service. The telcos are just using it as they please. And I don't know how you feel about that, but that's ridiculous. Okay, let me go ahead here and let's play the 2 audio comments I have, and that's going to take us out towards the end of the show. I do believe I have a couple of emails as well. Let me go ahead and turn the volume up on this. Hang on. And let me go ahead and play the first comment here.
Hey, Todd. Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. Been listening to you talk about your experiences with Audible in recent months. I've been an Audible subscriber, I guess, for about the better part of a year, and I've been thoroughly enjoying it. I'm on the one book or one credit per month plan. The recommendation I want to make today is Atlas Shrugged. Got the unabridged version. Got that, it was a few months back, and thoroughly enjoyed it. Atlas Shrugged, I'd heard about it all my life. Never did get around to reading it. I guess it's an 1,100-page book, and I just don't have time for much reading. And so it's much easier to be able to listen to. Obviously, I got a lot of listening time while I'm driving my truck. And so I thoroughly enjoyed that. And the reason that I want to bring that up, besides the fact it's a great book just to listen to, is the fact that there's an Atlas Shrugged movie that is coming out on April the 15th, Atlas Shrugged Part 1. You can go to atlasshruggedpart1.com, and they've got a movie trailer and actually a clip from the upcoming movie. It's going to be broken down into three parts, the movie is. And so I'm really excited about it because now that I'm familiar with the Atlas Shrugged story, the novel, it's going to be fascinating to kind of see how they render that into a movie, the three-part movie. And Atlas Shrugged is very prescient for what's going on in the world today, in the United States and the world. So that's my recommendation, Atlas Shrugged. Keep up the great work. We'll catch you later.
Hey, Tom, thanks for that. And as you were commenting, I'm back here looking at the mixer board because that wasn't making it to the computer. It was going out over the stream, so there's a button push somewhere that needs to be repushed. But thanks for your recommendation on Audible. And, of course, again, if you want to get a free trial, you go to audiblepodcast.com/CES to get that 14-day free trial. And I've got one more voicemail here as well. And let's go ahead and play that now. And Tom, thanks so much. And how long did it take you to get through 1,100 pages via Audible? How long was that? How many hours of listening? I'm real kind of curious to get an idea. But anyway, here we go on the next audio comment.
Hey, Todd, this is Richard from Columbus, Georgia, calling in regard to show 649 about Apple and their 30%. First, a couple of comments. I think it's kind of funny that Readability is complaining about Apple taking a 30% cut when that's exactly what they're doing. They're taking a 30% cut. Maybe the people that they're taking the 30% needs to go back to them and say, don't take 30%, take less from us. You know, I think that's kind of funny. They're doing that. You mentioned the same thing. You're doing the same thing with your people. You're taking the 30%. Apple's just taking their 30%. Nobody, and your other comment about them being like the mafia and extortion, nobody's requiring these companies to put applications on their devices. These companies, Readability existed before the iPad. They can go back to doing it the way they were doing it before. Nobody is making them on the iPad. They just see that there's a lot of money to be made there, and they don't like that something's cutting into it now. You know, it's not the only game in town. If they don't like it, they can go play it. As Apple said, you can go play somewhere else if you don't like it. I'm not totally agreeing with everything Apple's doing, but I don't see it as extortion anyway. They're offering you a deal, you take it or you don't, just like the deal you offer to podcasters. They can take it or they go somewhere else. You know, anyway, enjoy the show. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for the comments. And, you know, I think the big difference here is that I work for my 30%. I work really, really hard. Now, I'm not saying that Apple hasn't worked for their 30%, but Apple doesn't build their apps, doesn't spend the thousands of dollars to build the app, go through the approval process and get it on. The companies are doing all that work, and really, Apple has a platform. And you know what? I think I understand. Okay, take a percentage, a few percentage points, but 30% I think is really greedy for really having nothing more but the phone. You're having to build your, they're not, Apple's not providing the app. Apple's not providing the audience, you know? So yeah, I don't know. I still think it's high. I still think it's extortion. You know, I really do, but, maybe, I don't know. I guess I understand your point, but I still think it's extortion on Apple's part. I think they're greedy, and I think the Federal Trade Commission is probably going to come after them a little bit. They're already looking into this. So we'll see. We'll see how this all turns out. Time will tell. But I sure wouldn't want to have to pay it. That's for sure. Someone sent me a NBC Universal. Actually, it was Robert sent me an NBC Universal link to, not excuse me, to an NBC Saturday Night Live clip of Mom Jeans. We've killed this already. Thanks, Robert, for that. I appreciate it. It is greatly appreciated for your link. Got an email here from Richard talking about, Todd, you should read this. A phony firestorm rages over Apple's future. So I'll have that up in the listener link. We appreciate you sending that in. I got a article here from Jim. He says, hey, Todd, from the New York Times, workers sickened at an Apple supplier in China. The company had said it ordered a contractor to stop using a toxic chemical making iPhone screens, but workers said they were pushed to quit. So I have this link up in the show notes. So it's, again, it's, you know, more slave labor type stuff going on in China. Got an email here from Jeremy, and he said, sent me a TechCrunch article. It says, what's next question? What's a publishing app? And this is in response to Steve Jobs basically saying, oh, this doesn't apply to publishing apps. But anyway, I'll have these linked up in the show notes. So everyone that sent stuff in, I appreciate it very much. And for those of you that have hung out with me here for the past hour and 16 minutes, it's greatly appreciated that you've tuned in and have watched. Of course, everyone that's up on Ustream and on Justin.TV, thanks for hanging with me tonight as well. I'll be up after the show's over to chat a little bit. But for everyone else, hey, we'll be back here Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific for the Saturday Morning Tech Show. We'll do it live. Have a couple of guests come join me. And, of course, if not, we'll be back Monday night for the live show with a Tuesday release of the show and Friday release of the show, of course, as always. Again, my name is Todd Cochran from GeekNewsCentral.com. And, of course, send your comments to GeekNews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Until next time, everyone, take care and aloha.